Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus says to us, "Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Amen.
Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
It's my pleasure to be here. What a wonderful day. And how are you?
Yes,
I hope you had a good weekend. Yes. Every time like this, we have opportunity to advise ourselves, to encourage ourselves in the Word of God. And that's the dignity of coming to church. Oftentimes you wonder, why do I need to go? But each time we come like this, I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday that there is a power in gathering with the children of God. Not just listening to the Word of God, we pray together, we sing together. So it's an amazing thing. Count yourself lucky and count yourself blessed for coming in the presence of God. And today, what we shall be discussing, it's not fair. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? So, yes, we are in church, but are we sure our heart is here? Are we present? Many times we ask ourselves, maybe in a workplace or in a relationship or in a conversation, and before you know it, your mind is somewhere else. This is the situation of many of us. We are in church, but our heart is somewhere else. Yes, we are in Christ, but are we sure our heart is in Christ? The Bible teaches that the heart is the center of our lives. It shapes our desires, our decisions, and our direction. It is the heart that governs everything we do. The way we feel, our perspective, is what comes from the heart. I remember in one of Jesus' teachings, he said, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles the body, but it is what comes from the heart that defiles the heart." In our Bible reading, the Bible says, "Lay up not for yourselves." It says from 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and thieves steal. Wherefore, lay your treasures, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Our biggest priority is where our mind is always at. Have you ever been in a location, maybe you visited somebody and they are serving you and the food was so nice and you're already looking at the food and there is a conversation keep going on and you're lost because your mind is interacting with the food? We are in this world, but we are not of the world. Many of the things that we do drives that we see and experience and consume drives our behavior and our action. But Jesus in his teaching told us that where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And now, what is treasure? Oftentimes we associate treasure to money, valuables. But is that the only thing that makes treasure? Is that the only thing that occupies our heart, that occupies our mind? Before I go further, the purpose of this word of exhortation is to help us to reflect on ourselves. Yes, I'm a Christian, but am I truly in Christ? We can call ourselves Christian. We can go to church. Our sister gave a very wonderful advice this morning. Yes, we learn all these things, but how do they impact you? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Have you been in a relationship where, yes, you are there, but you are not there? Maybe in a friendship. Because of one reason or the other. Where your treasure is, what you value, is where your heart will be also. So as we go along with this word of exhortation, I want you to do a deep reflection on yourself, as I'm doing on myself, that yes, I'm a Christian, but am I in Christ? What we treasure the most captures our hearts, and what captures our hearts eventually controls our life. If you are engulfed with your job, you will discover that it is your job that will drive your life. If you are so carried away by your family or maybe your children, of course they are treasure, they are precious things. You will discover that they are the ones that will govern your life. But as a Christian, all these things, are they supposed to drive our life? In Christ, we became a new person. Every other thing becomes secondary. What is treasure then? Treasure is not limited to money. It includes our time. Where do you invest most of your time? Take a deep reflection. In this past week, where did you spend most of your time? And with what? Maybe with who? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your relationship, your ambition. Maybe you are driven towards a degree or acquiring something. This is where to take control of your life. Don't forget, what we treasure the most controls our heart. And what controls our heart controls our life. Have you ever wondered why some people are Christian and yet they don't behave like Christian? Have you ever experienced that before? The reason for that is because their heart, their mind is not taken over by Christ. In the early days of Christianity, when division entered into the church, did you know how? Division enter into the church because people bring their person, their culture, their tradition into Christ. The same way you and I today, we bring our personality, our experiences, our values into Christ. The Bible says, be not equally yoked with the world. He said, be not unequally yoked. Have you ever had oil into water before? You will notice that by the time you put it down, it will separate. If you carry baggages of your life into Christ, it only takes it some time. It will show itself that you are still not yet offloaded. Remember the rich young ruler that came to Christ and he asked, Lord, what must I do to be saved? He said, do this, do that. He said, all these things I have done from my youth. He said, there is one thing lacking of you. Sell all your goods and then follow me. The Bible told us that the man went home sorrowfully. We find it so difficult to disengage our lives, ourselves, when we come to Christ. But what is Christ requiring of you? He said, what occupies you the most, there your treasure is, and there your heart will also be. Our treasure can be our comfort. Some people can't just change their comfort. Approval, even ourselves, our personality. When we invest our time and attention, reveals what truly matters to us. If your job is where you invest all your attention, I tell you, my brother, do not be deceived. That job is more important to you. If it's a passion, that is, you invest the most of your time, I tell you, this is what will control your life. But as a Christian, we need our life to be driven by Christ. This morning, there are lots of questions. Why is it difficult for us? It is because we have not really submitted ourselves into the control of Christ. When we submit ourselves, many things become easier to do. The heart controls our mind. The heart is the center of our life. It's the center of our soul. It controls our thoughts, our intention, our perspective. Sometimes we prejudge a situation. Not because the situation is like that, but because what we have at the back of our mind. But as a Christian, what should we be? Should we still carry ourselves into Christ? The mind is constantly acting. According to study, we process between 60 to 80,000 thoughts every 24 hours. And most of these thoughts are repetitive, thinking about the same thing again and again and again, and science-based. Most of them are negative thoughts. Remember what the Bible says in the book of Genesis? He said, and he looked to man, and he saw that his thought, his thinking, is continually evil. What science has come to prove today is what the Bible already spoken of a thousands of years ago. There's so many things that runs through our mind, and what you focus, what you think the most, is what shapes you. But how much process and thinking and thought and fact and share that we give to Christ in our hearts? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. This is the reason why the Bible advises us in the book of Proverbs that we should consciously guard our heart, for there becomes the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Our thoughts shapes our emotions. Sometimes we behave in a certain way. It is because that is the way we think. The Bible says, do not forget, that as a man thinketh, so he is. If you think negative, you will act negatively. If you think people are evil, people will be evil to you. I remember I read this, I've said it here before, that life is the mirror. If you smile at the mirror, what do you see? You see a smiling man in the mirror. But if you frown your face into the mirror, what would you see? You probably see an angry woman. If you are a woman looking into that mirror. So that is how life is. It is what we carry in our hearts that will reflect the world. So our thoughts guide our emotion. It guides our choices and our habits and our spiritual condition. A lot of times, we struggle to make spiritual choices because our heart is not filled with the Spirit of God. If the Word of God, right, you say, we should allow the Word of God dwell richly in you. If the Word of God is not richly dwelling in you, it will be difficult for you to make godly decisions. It will be difficult for you to apply godly choices. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, let's quickly read. Galatians 6, 7 to 8. Be not deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that he shall reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. According to neuroscience, the brain cannot distinguish between what is true and what is a lie. If a child is born today and given to a different couple, and the child only knows that this is my mommy and this is my daddy, unless somebody tells the child otherwise, he will believe that these two men get back to you. Is that not so? That is so. And science proves all of this. That the brain, it is what we repeat to the brain, that the brain believes is the truth. And so some of these things that we continue to reflect and our personality and our experiences seems to occupy our heart and our decisions in Christ. It is what you repeat the most in your mind that eventually the brain believes. And that is why there is something in psychology, they call it neuroplasticity. It's a cognitive, behavioral therapy where you change the way you think into a certain way so that you can correct what is wrong. So what you are, so sometimes when we see us doing certain things and we believe that we are doing the right thing, it is because what we have allowed to occupy our heart, and that is the reason why we behave in those ways. What are the things that shape our mind? Don't forget, the mind is like a foam, it's like an empty place. What you feed into it is what you will get back from it. So what are the things that shape typically our minds and our thoughts and our focus and those things where we focus our hearts on? Our past experiences. Many of the things that we do today and who we are is what we know. It's what we've gone through. Some of us are very defensive because probably we've been exposed to threats, and that's what we try and make sure that we guard ourselves so that we don't fall into our past trauma. Our upbringing. There's something they call personality disorder. These are the things that shapes the way we think. It is important that we look at all of these things because the Bible told us that as a man thinketh, so he is. When we come into Jesus, the whole idea of coming to Christ is not to improve our lives, it's to change us from who we are. If we were good enough, then we do not need Christ in our life. Christ wants to change you. But are we changing? And so, it is important to know, where are we coming from? Trauma. Yes, I was talking about personality disorder. A lot of us don't know that we actually have personality disorder. And that is the reason why we behave in a certain way. Personality disorder is not something we are born with. It's an acquired condition based on maybe post-traumatic disorder, maybe from life experience, maybe upbringing, maybe certain challenges. And that is why I personally advocate for help. You know why we come to church? We come to church because we want to learn. If we know everything, there's no need. But the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in the spirit are people who are hungry, who are in need, who are thirsty. What we are exposed to, what we listen to, today we are full of social media. Yes, social media has all fantastic, all sorts of things. Yet, there are many evil. Many of us spend hours and hours. Our phone is like our next person. In fact, there is this day of AI where people ask all sorts of questions. Today, I'm sad. What should I do? Yes, these are the realities that face us every day. And these are the things that shape who we are. But how would you know something is wrong with you when you don't know what Christ is? The only way you can know that your standard of life is not in order is when you know the character of Christ by interacting with His Word. Our heart and mind and thoughts need daily renewal. The book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Verse 2. He said, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, the transformation, a lot of us think that when we come to Christ, it's a one-time change. No, it's a continuous transformation, because we experience continuous challenges, things every day. In the Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, let's go clearly. Hebrews 10, 25. He said, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another daily. Exhorting one another so much as you see the day approaching. Let's quickly look at ourselves in the image of Christ. Remember, I told us earlier that when we come to Christ, we carry our baggage, our personality, our person into Christ. What is the position of yourself in the new life, which is in Christ? In Christ, our identity changes. Yes, you have a family background. Yes, you are this. Yes, this is your behavior. Yes, this is your life. This is what you know. Our definition of truth also changes. The Christian life is not about self-improvement, but it is about self-transformation. We have to desire to change if we are coming to Christ. And this change, it is not one time. Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 3 from verse 10, he said, not that I have attained, but one thing I do, verse 14. You understand? It's a continuous transformation, continuous change. Let me ask you, what is Christ changing in your life today? What is Christ transforming in your life today? I tell you, it has to be a daily renewal for it to be meaningful to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is what? A new creature. You are no longer yourself. He said, behold, all things are pass away, and all things have become new. We struggle with becoming righteous because we still carry ourselves into Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I tell you today, if you have not done that before, and this is what I desire to God to help me to nail myself, my desire, my passion, my own choice to the cross every day. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that I am living, it is not I, but Christ living in me. Can I ask you, is Christ living in you? Is Christ the reason for the decision that you are making right now? Is Christ the reason for the choices you are making today? In Christ, our old self is replaced by a new identity shaped by the character of Christ. Do you even know the character of Christ? Recently, I enjoyed reading the Gospels. So, when you read more about these things, you tend to learn about the life of Christ, how he behaves and how he relates with people. You have to learn, my brother. You cannot know. I encourage us today to develop a personal relationship with Christ through His word. Yes, it's a good thing to come to classes like this and learn what people say. But I will interpret it based on my own personal experience. But when you engage with this word, the interpretation will come to you based on your own personal experience. That is why you can never get over your personal interaction with the word of God. And nothing can replace it. Not a podcast, not a video, not any lesson. Remember what Paul said about the people of Berea. He said these people were more noble than the Thessalonica. What did they do? He said, this is what they do. They checked the scriptures to confirm that those words were so. Our old self is driven by pride, fear, selfish desire. But in Christ, Matthew chapter 5, verse 46. Matthew 5, 46. For if ye love them that love you, what reward do ye? It is a natural brain. It's an instinctive behavior for us to smile at those who smile at us and to love those who love us. After all, they say, one good turn deserves another. Isn't that true? But is this Bible perspective? Well, George was saying this morning, it's about how the Bible says. It is not about what people say or how you feel. Many times we say, oh, myself, it is not about you. If you have to be a Christian, it's going to be about Christ. He said, if you value your brethren only, what do you more than others? Hello, are we here?
Yes.
Hello. Let's start again. Verse 46. For if we love them that love you, what reward do ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? For if we salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do the same? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Luke 6, verse 35. But love your enemies and do good to them that are and lend. Hope for nothing, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. But be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is merciful. The passage is Luke chapter 6, from 35 to 37. One more before we go forward. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. If you may, you can write them down. 3:7-8. He said, but what thing were gain to me, those things I count loss for Christ. What have you lost because of Christ? Your pride? Your person, your image, your glory, your position. You say, yeah, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Just because he know Jesus, he count them all but loss. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and who count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I pray today that I, myself, and you may win Christ at the end of the day. How can we focus our heart on God? Number one, by developing a close relationship. My dear brothers and sisters, how do we become friends with somebody when we spend time with them, we check on them? I remember when I newly met my wife, we call each other. Then mobile phone was not very popular. There's something they call night call. She will call me over the night. Even though it's not convenient, but that devotes my time. Because that is where my heart is. But if I put my heart in all those things, is Christ shaping my life? Some of the things we struggle is maybe because we put our focus on the wrong thing. Because Christ should manifest in everything we do. Not because those things were not important. In your relationship, what is the position of Christ in that relationship? In your job, how is Christ occupying that space? Your time, where is Jesus in this time? In your possessions, in your family. By being constant in our prayer life, consistent in our prayer life, we have to develop a consistent prayer life. By spending time in the Word, I have told you there is nothing that can replace your personal interaction with those letters. There is nothing that can take it away because they mean different things to different people. In spending time in the world, in choosing obedience, even when it is difficult. By walking in love, in forgiveness, and in humility. If you have never started your journey with Christ, maybe today is your time. You can make a choice by focusing your heart on Jesus today. But having heard of him, you have to believe him. Before you can be a child of God, you have to accept him into your life. There's something I like to say. Jesus has the power to take over the world. But no, yesterday I was having an interesting conversation with a Muslim young lady. She was asking me basic questions. And she asked me, oh, I'm sorry, I have to. I said, it is right. These things were written thousands of years ago. Why don't we challenge it? Whether they are true, maybe they are not true. Why don't you challenge that? It is okay for you to ask those basic questions. It will help you to know that whether they are true or not. So today, my dear brother, I invite you to Christ. Becoming a Christian is not a burden. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Yoke means like a lading. It's like something they put in a cart. It's a body. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. You have to believe in these things were written that we may believe. You have to confess Jesus. Jesus said, whosoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. And you have to be baptized. Baptism is not a tick in the box. It's a demonstration of your faith. I remember in my reading I told you earlier, when Jesus came, when John was born, and a lot of people celebrated because it was a special birth. And then Jesus came, and John was doing things. He was a popular prophet. Everybody knows him. Now, Jesus came to him. He said, no, I cannot be baptized. He said, it must be done to fulfill all righteousness. Apostle Peter in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. He said, the like figure is where on from verse 20. He talks about the ark that saved man. And said, the like figure of that ark is baptism, which now saves us. It's not the washing away of the feet of God, but the answer of his good conscience towards God. If you ever have to follow Jesus, you have to believe and follow his path. He wants you to demonstrate it. The death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. So I invite you today, come to Jesus and you will never regret. You will make that decision. At that time, your heart will be focused on him, and there your treasure will be. God bless you. May God bless his word in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.